Okay. I want to talk about cavities this morning. Let's start with that. I did go to the dentist this week, and I don't have any, thank goodness, but I started to think about what a cavity is, and it's defined as a space within a solid object, a hole in the tooth by decay, and we all know about that. And we also know that a cavity creates that empty space, and if it left unattended, it grows, and it can become more serious. You can lose your tooth if you don't deal with it. And what the Lord kind of opened my eyes to is how the enemy works on our soul to try to create those spaces, cavities. And if we're not in tune to the Spirit and we let the negative things grow, they can rob us of our awareness of our life in God. Amen. That's like holes in our soul. You know, the lies of the enemy come, and if we believe his lies and we don't trust God's love for us, those holes are empty spaces, and we sense we don't feel our closeness to God. We don't feel connected with him. And we want to see how those holes filled up. We want to see those cavities tended to where the Lord can heal them. Whatever we let the Lord touch, and just like the picture of Dennis with that drill coming in, the Word of God can be that way too, like a drill coming into a certain area. Whatever we let God touch, he will fill with his love. Amen. When we're resistant and we don't want the Lord to touch a certain area, the pain just gets worse and the problem gets worse. And we say, well, God, why don't you meet me? Where is your love? Why don't I feel your presence? Well, we're resisting the very thing that will bring an awareness of his presence. The Word of God needs to be that surgical scalpel, touching the areas where the enemy has had inroads, damage. Jesus told the disciples in John 14:18, I will not leave you as orphans. I'll come back to you. It's a powerful statement, because that orphan state, or that orphan sense of mentality, state of mentality, is so powerful and pervasive in the world we live in. Religion is so strong because people are trying to find a connection back to God, because deep down inside there's that fear and that lie that we're orphaned. And we're not to be in that place. Jesus said, I will not leave you as orphans. He gave the Holy Spirit so that we would know that we are the family of God, that God's love is ever with us and in us. And that's easy to say, but sometimes difficult to be aware of. In a very unloving world, we see so many negative things happening. When he said, I'll come back to you, he did with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in our lives is to be that presence that makes us aware that we have that eternal connection with God's heart. God wants to fill the holes we have in our soul due to decay. And this is a new covenant standard. We don't mold our flesh by self-will and effort into some ideal we have in our minds. That's what religion's all about. You make some effort, you do something to try to mold your flesh into something that will be acceptable to God. Well, Jesus going to the cross was the answer for all of that. Instead, we empty ourselves, we humble ourselves. We acknowledge the holes that we have inside and stop pretending that we can change ourselves for God. So instead of trying to become something, it's that process of emptying. We read in Philippians 2. You know, it's so difficult, because to be spiritual, you got to lay hold and you got to let go. You think, well, how can I do both? Well, we let go of the self-effort, so that with the help of the Holy Spirit, our spirit can lay hold of the reality of who God is. If we can't let go of our own efforts, we never really know what true faith is all about. In Philippians 2:13, it says this, for it is not your strength, but it is God who is effectively at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. The next verse, Do all without murmuring or questioning God, so that you may be God's children, blameless, sincere, wholesome, living in a morally crooked and spiritually perverted generation, among whom you are seen as bright lights in a world of darkness. It's God who is at work within us. When we realize that, now the next verse says, don't murmur or question God. How does the enemy work? He works to get us into a kind of a judgmental, negative state of mind. We're questioning God. Why is this happening? Why is that happening? It can be bitterness. It can be resentment. Because those things are the decay that remove from us the awareness that it's God's good pleasure to work in our lives. He loves it. It's God's good pleasure to mold our lives into the destiny that we're to fulfill. But murmuring, complaining, being judgmental, being critical, do they stop the hand of God? Will they stop us from being aware of His hand? And yes, and then we start resisting them. God is not going to go against our will. But if our will is set for God to do His work, then there's going to be that quality of thankfulness in our heart. And instead of questioning God, things we don't understand, we put on a shelf. We say, God, I don't understand it. I don't like it. Those are all acceptable answers. But then it's followed with, like Mary said, be it done unto me according to your word. That's that letting go. Hebrews 4:30 says, His word is sharp as a surgeon's scalpel. Not 30th verse, but anyway, Hebrews 4. His word is sharp as a surgeon's scalpel, cutting through everything, whether doubt or defense, laying us open to listen and obey. I like the way that's expressed. The word of God is sharp as a scalpel. What is He cutting out? Doubt or defense? Unbelief? Fear? We can't get rid of those things on our own. It says the word of God penetrates. As a surgeon's scalpel means He's not just slicing and dicing and hoping He gets the right thing out of there. A surgeon knows precisely where to go, what needs to be removed. We think we know how we need to change. We don't. And a lot of the things that we focus on as the major problems are not a problem to God. Other things we may be doing, we may have no conscience over, are a problem to the Spirit. And one thing that comes to mind, I'm looking back over church history, is being critical and judgmental. I mean, I look at how often I justified that because people, this was wrong or that was wrong, and the word says this or that. And you know, we don't grow by the tree of knowledge and good and evil. It's the tree of life we feed from. If we have a judgmental attitude, we can be correct in our perception, but our attitude is off base. We're not allowing the Word of God to go in and cut out the doubt, the unbelief, the fear that's there. It lays us open to listen and obey. When God is able to do His work through His Word in our lives, we become transparent and open. And we realize that that is a spiritual state. We don't have to have the defenses and try to block everything off. The love of God is our defense. Ephesians 4, chapter, verse 22, it says, everything connected with that old way of life has got to go. It's rotten through and through. Take on an entirely new way of life, a God-fashioned life, a life renewed from the inside and working itself into your conduct as God accurately reproduces His character in you. What this means is that no more lies, no more pretense. Goes on to say, don't grieve God, don't break His heart. His Holy Spirit moving and breathing in you is the most intimate part of your life, making you fit for Himself. Don't take such a gift for granted. Make a clean break with all the cutting and backbiting, profane talk. Be gentle with one another, sensitive, Forgive one another as quickly and thoroughly as God in Christ has forgiven you. That's the attitude we're to have. That forgiving quality, that gentleness to one another. That's an atmosphere where God can get to all the holes we have in our soul. He doesn't patch them up. He looks at that hole and he says, that's how I'm going to fill that with my love. And that's where the scripture talks about us being filled with the fullness of God. That's what it's talking about. But if we can't acknowledge the holes, basically we're telling God we're so full of ourselves, we don't have room for you. When we empty ourselves, we're saying we're full of holes, and God says, I know, I want you to be aware of that. Let me fill those holes with my presence. Thinking about in the Old Testament, Saul, and we talk, thinking of this thing of a cavity of decay, you know, Saul fell out of favor with God. He was the first king, and he ruled for 42 years. But there was a switch in a certain period of time where David was anointed to be king. And Saul became filled with jealousy. You can see that jealousy is one of those things that causes decay to our soul. And it grew, and it grew to the point where Saul's whole purpose was to try to kill David. He lost all sense of his authority for the people and what he was put in to do for the people. Instead of humbling his heart and recognizing, okay, God, you've made a change. David's to be king. I believe he could have been restored if he'd done that. He went all the way to his death with that jealousy and that bitterness, robbing him of his life. That's why those things we say, well, how can I be aware if I'm bitter or resentful? The Holy Spirit will make us aware of those pockets in us if we're willing to listen. We want to be sure to let the Lord into those areas so they don't grow, because those type of things don't just stay static. A jealous heart, when you're jealous, when you're resentful, when you're bitter, it either diminishes or it grows. And it's God's presence that causes it to diminish. Amen. Let's stand.